सरस्वत्याय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेव ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणम्
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 19
यत्र यत्र च मद्भक्तः प्रशान्तः समदर्शिनः साधवः समुदाचारास् ते पूयन्तेऽपि कीकटः
यत् ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की व्हेनेवर एंड वेरेवर देर आर पीसफुल इक्विपॉइज्ड डिवोटीज हु आर वेल बिहेव्ड एंड डेकोरेटेड विथ ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज That place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. Purport. Wherever exalted devotees stay, not only they and their dynasties, but the entire country is purified. That's all. Om Ajna. Whenever and wherever there are peaceful, equipoised devotees who are well behaved and decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties there, even if condemned, are purified. So these words are spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Sri Prahlad, speaking about the importance of becoming a devotee. And what are the advantages that even the dynasty or the community or the country acquires by one of its members taking up to the process of devotional service. So here it is, in the purport it is said, wherever exalted devotees stay, not only they and their dynasties, but the entire country is purified. One person. It only takes one person of the caliber of Prahlad to purify a whole dynasty, like the demoniac dynasty in which he appeared. So we were recently in Alarnath. We went to Alarnath for a yatra. So there was a similar story, but in a negative way. As you might be knowing, the Alarnath deity is very famous for having accepted the offerings offered by a great child devotee just like Sri Prahlad. His name was Mukunda. So this small child, he was given the sweet rice by his father, Brahmana, and who was planning to go out of station for some other work. So he gave his son the service of offering the bhoga to the Lord. So he, not knowing much about devotion, much about the pujari services, he kept the sweet rice in front of the Lord and started begging the Lord to accept the offering. So he was having a wrong understanding. He thought that the Lord would personally appear, but he just accepted, you know, the bhoga was just there, untouched. So this Mukunda, small child, he thought that there's something wrong in my offering of the sweet rice. So then he started begging the Lord for personally appearing to accept the sweet rice out of his innocence. So the Lord appeared personally out of the, you know, inspired by the devotion of the small child, and personally came and accepted the sweet rice. So he went outside his outside the altar, and his mother was a little disturbed that the sweet rice is missing. Never it has happened like that. So he asked the boy what happened, and he said the Lord accepted it. So the mother became a little upset, and she complained to the father when she returned, saying that, you know, see, our son, he's learned all these bad habits of telling lies. So father thought, okay, let me test our son. So let us see, I'll catch him red-handed. So he gave the sweet rice again to his son and he said, now you again offer. And the story goes that he was waiting outside the altar and peeping from the altar door. So the small boy, again, he, following the same protocol, he kept the offering and started begging the Lord, please appear, please appear. And indeed, the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared and he accepted the sweet rice. And he was eating the sweet rice, the hot sweet rice, when the Brahmana Pujari being greedy, that, you know, the sweet rice is being consumed by the Lord, he jumped into the altar and snatches the hand of the Lord, the arm of the Lord. And the arm of the Lord goes into the sweet rice, burns his finger, and some of it splashes on his face, and he gets some burnt marks on his face. So if you go to the DT in Alarnath, we actually saw the DTs are, the DT is very beautiful. All the fingers are very well formed, except for one of his arms, forearms, which is a little disfigured. There are some aberrations on it. So the story goes that the Lord then curses the Brahman community as by saying that your whole dynasty, your 1800 Brahmanas who are living here, will be completely destroyed by a great flood which will ensue subsequently. And Mukunda, the great devotee of the Lord, he went back home, back to Godhead. So we can see that by the act of one Brahmana, the whole dynasty or the community of Brahmanas was destroyed. So this is the principle, actually, that the act of one can be the result of great, either great misfortune for the whole community or the great fortune for the whole community. Now, why it is like this? Why it should be like this? What have the other people done in order to suffer such a calamity? It was just one greedy Brahmana. But no, actually, the leader of the community actually represents the sum total of the consciousness of the people. Like, for example, if you go to a particular place, you find that there are people who think similarly. They share a particular consciousness. They share a particular culture. So actually, that Brahmana was just representing the greed of all the Brahmanas. What was the problem of this Brahmana? He was offering prasad every day, but he was, you know, not having any intentions of feeding the Lord. He was just doing it ritualistically. So it is ritualism pushed to its maximum limit, where this Brahmana is actually offering the bhoga, and he does not actually in his heart wants the Lord to accept. You can imagine. So if a degradation can take place, it can go to such an extent that things can become so ritualistic that a so-called Brahmana can be offering food to the deities, and when the deity himself comes to take the kheer, he stops him from eating, saying, and what does it actually mean? It means that, oh Lord, I'm not interested in you accepting what I offer, but I just want to maintain my position of being a great saint, and you please stand here so that you can become a source of my income, so that people will respect me of what I am, and I will keep receiving my, you know, donations. Because people give a lot of donations when they go to the temples. We have experienced that when you go, paisa, 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 donation, donation, donation. So it's everywhere. If you go to Orissa, you'll find it common. Some of the devotees were quite fried by that. So they didn't even come to the temple like that. So one such act of one Brahmana can be the calamity or misfortune for the community. So the principle is that we have to make sure that we are part of a good community, of a Krishna conscious community. This is very important. And we see other examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Krishna, when he made plans to take away the Yadu dynasty, it took place by the offense of the Brahmanas, Atri, Narada, and all the great rishis who had come over there. So all the Yadu Vamsha, some of the Yadu Vamsha boys, when they're pretending to be pregnant, they filled up their belly with some cloth or something, and they went to the rishis and they said, "Rishis, you have got the power to foretell the future. Please tell whether I will give birth to a boy or a girl." So the sages, they curse them, saying that you will give birth to an iron club which will be the cause of the destruction of your dynasty, the Yadu dynasty, which is the most powerful dynasty in the world, which cannot be conquered by any other military force. So in the commentaries, Srila Prabhupada explains that, and the Acharyas also explain that, why did this arrangement take place for the Yadu Vamshas to be, for the plans to be, for the Yadu Vamshas to be wiped out through such an incident. So it is explained that the Lord wanted to emphasize the great offense of to a great sage. The consequence that even though you may be the own personal associate of the Lord, but if you offend the Lord's devotees, then the Lord is not pleased. And it is only a matter of time when great calamity will occur and repercussions can take place, severe repercussions can take place, even if they are personal servants of the Lord. So therefore, devotees are always careful. No Vaishnava will actually try to blaspheme or condemn other Vaishnavas. The quality of a Vaishnava means what? He's always glorifying other devotees. So this is a very important principle. So here we can see that the Lord, Supreme Lord personally, he gave more importance to qualities rather than birth. All these Yaduvamshas were from the same family of Krishna. But that was not as important to him as his devotees, as the welfare of his devotees who are serving sincerely the Lord's mission. So like that, there are various such examples. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are episodes when the demigods offend great sages like Durvasa. He was not even a devotee actually, he was a mystic yogi. He was not even a devotee, he was just a mystic. And he was offended. As a result, the demigods got cursed and they had to give up their heavenly kingdom. In another episode, Indra, he offends Brihaspati, his spiritual master. And the demons attack the demigods and all of the demigods have to quit the heavenly kingdom, heavens. So they go to Brahma and Brahma says, the cause of your misfortune is your offense to your spiritual master. So we can see a community thrives by worship of Vaishnavas and a community falls by the blasphemy of Vaishnavas. So here we can see Prahlad Maharaj's example that he was actually such a great devotee, such a wonderful friend of the devotee community that because of him the whole community of the Danavas was blessed. So this is the principle. So therefore, it is very important to keep this principle in mind because our actions has a repercussion on the people around us. So this is a very important principle. So people do not understand. Like for example, here in this verse lies the formula for peace and harmony in the society. Here Narsingadev is telling Prahlad and all of us that how we can have peace in a society. How can you have peace and harmony in a society when you have people like Prahlad? Because your community gets blessed if you have one of your members as a devotee. Like for example, in the current episodes of terrorism going on in the society, people are coming up with so many solutions. What should be done? Some of the solutions are right. Like the questions are being asked, what are the security measures? What is the government doing? The politicians are crooks. Or, they have to be changed, replaced. And, there should be more security measures, the airports and the trains and all these things are okay, but they're just basically superficial arrangements. The main arrangements is mentioned. The main solution is mentioned in the scriptures. So along with these solutions which are been made, this solution should be there. That is, arrangement should be made for people to take up to the process of Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important principle. Because unless there is no Krishna consciousness in the society, calamity will be raging, sinful desires will be raging within the hearts of the people, and just by instituting security measures, you're just suppressing it. And there will be such spurious incidences when there will be some kind of explosions and things like that. So that is not a real solution. That is just patchwork solution. But the real cause of the problem lies in the society not being Krishna conscious. So that is what people are ignorant about. They don't know what is the real solution. And therefore people suffer. Like, I'll tell you an anecdote. I just heard it. A nice anecdote in this connection. One man, he goes to a dentist. And he says, "Doctor, pull my teeth out quickly." So doctor says, "Excuse me, just wait, just be patient and let me check your teeth first. Just be patient. I said, no, doctor, don't just check, just remove it out. Doctor says, I'm the doctor, you're the patient, just sit peacefully and I will give you a solution. So then he checks his mouth and he finds, you have perfect teeth, why do you want to pull out your teeth? Are you crazy or what? He says, no, I'm not crazy. Thing is, since the last 1 month, I'm having such a strong stomach ache that you pull out my teeth so that I forget about my stomach ache and now I think about something else, maybe my toothache. So that is a solution. Seems like a logical solution, but it is actually absurd, isn't it? So the thing is that people don't know solutions to problems. They don't know what is the cause of the problem, and then they don't know what the solution, basically. So, you have certain things being implemented, but it doesn't work out. Like since so many years, there have been terrorism activities going on, and it will still go on. You can expect it. Right? So people don't know solutions. So like there are some people who say, like one of our devotees was saying, he was standing at Dadar station, and one man came to the stall, and he said, "Are." And I was telling this in Mira Road Center also, in my lecture, I was quoting this incident. That so they were making an announcement, Gita le lo, and then one man is coming and saying, "Hey, tumhara announcement important hai ya wo, railway ka announcement important hai. Is your announcement important or the railway announcement is important?" So the devotee said, if this Gita is not important, why would so many of us, intelligent devotees, or intelligent people, so-called people, are here selling a Gita? So he said, "No, y'all are Atankwadis," he's telling. "Y'all are Atankwadis," he's calling the devotee community Atankwadis. So why do people speak like this? Because they feel somehow practicing religion or people who are representing some religion are actually a cause of problem. They are causing wars and, a certain problem in the society. They feel that religion is a cause of war and terrorism and, so-called the Islamic extremists. Like, for example, like I was in Mayapur when this episode took place in Bombay. There was peace talks. People from 70 countries came from all different faiths and they were coming together discussing how we should develop peace. And here there was terrorism. Just the opposite. So it gave more gravity to the discussions there. It had more meaning actually. Talks on peace has more meaning when, there is something going on there. So the thing is that they're talking about peace and people are coming out with solutions, abolish religion, and then there will be peace and harmony. But no, actually history has shown that even abolishing religion, you cannot get peace. Like atheism has also been a great source of violence. Like for example, you have Stalin, who killed about 2 million people. He was an atheist. Hitler, he killed 20 million people. He was an atheist. Then there is a group of people called as Jacobins in France in the 16th century. They killed about 2.5 lakh people because they wanted to reject God and institute a moral principle which will bring about harmony and peace in the society. So there were people who opposed. So they thought the best solution is to kill all the people and then have peace. And they ended up killing 2.5 lakh people. So much for abolishing religion. So history has shown that abolishing religion, you cannot get peace. So a lot of violence is there, even on the blood is there in the hands of the atheists also. So what is the solution? So the solution is not there in religion, the solution is there in basic human nature. The people have sinful tendencies, and that is the problem. And that needs to be cured. Prabhupada used to say, like if you're having a headache, you go to the doctor. Or if you have toothache and you go to the doctor, the doctor should try to cure the pain rather than just try to pull out the teeth. Isn't it? First solution is that let us cure the pain. Or if you have a headache and you say, "Doctor, I have a severe headache." Doctor says, "The cause of your suffering is your head. The cause of suffering is your head. So let us do a nice easy thing. Let's chop off your head. No head, no pain." So that's quite an absurd solution. So that's what it means actually when people say that let us take out religion. So no, let us cure the basic problem. The basic problem is of human nature. So therefore, it is recommended in the Shastras that you must take measures to control irreligion. Control irreligion. What are the irreligious principles? So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an episode when Parikshit Maharaj was faced with Kali personified, who was breaking the legs of the cow. And he immediately stopped him and wanted to kill him there and there. So the irreligion has spread so much today that, you see, everyone is killing cows today. Not everyone, but most. There is so much cow killing going on in India. Like many people are saying there's violence everywhere and, you know, terrorism. Terrorists have attacked the 5-star hotels and they have attacked, you know, all these important places. How bad? We must have more security in all these places. And people are asking a lot of questions about this. But why aren't people asking questions what's going on in these 5-star hotels? That is a very important question also, isn't it? I'm not saying what questions they are asking is wrong, but what I'm saying is incomplete and we should be asking other questions. What is going on in the hotels? Prabhupada, once he was coming, visiting one of the ISKCON places, and the disciples had made arrangements for Prabhupada to come and live in the hotel. Prabhupada said, hotel? Hotels are brothels. I will not live in the hotel. I will live in the temple. So basically, if you see 5-star hotels, they have prostitution going on there. They have intoxication being sold there. Don't they have meat being sold there? Cow meat, beef being sold there? You have that also. You have intoxication being sold there. So basically, what you find is that in all of these places, there is irreligious activities going on. Basically everywhere, but there it is going on in a most glamorous way, which is basically breaking all the four principles, pillars of religious thought. So therefore, that has to be controlled. So why aren't the government or why aren't the leaders of the society making those arrangements to stop irreligious activity? Because the cause of misfortune is breaking of the principles of religion. So you make arrangements for religious principles to be followed by people and control that so that you can have peace. So when Parikshit Maharaj was trying to kill Kali, so Kali took shelter of Parikshit. And he said, please give me shelter in your kingdom. So Parikshit, then these words were spoken. He says, Abhyartitha stada tasmai sthanani kale dadao dyutam panam striya suna yatra dharmas chaturvidha. So Bhagavatam explains, Suta Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution and animal slaughter were performed. So Kali is residing in those places where these sinful activities are being performed. So basically, as a leader, one must try to curb these activities. Help people and encourage people through the media, through the newspapers, through the billboards, to take up to pure sanctified activities. But you find all of these media, all of these billboards, all of the newspapers, all of these magazines are all filled with matter which is basically promoting these four sinful activities. Previously, you know, when movies would be released, they would have a censor board and they would say U or A, you know, for adults or for universal or for, you know. But thing is now that concept is, I don't know, it's gone. Even if you have a movie like with you may find all such scenes which are even, you know, civilized people would not go. So the thing is that the government is not making any arrangement for this. In fact, all the medias are filled with promoting the breaking of four regulative principles. So how you can expect peace? How you can think that, you know, there will be harmony and you can control terrorism? No. So here is the solution which Lord Narasingadev himself is saying, that your whole community can be purified. Your contaminated place can be cleansed by the presence of one great devotee. So then Kali said, no, but that is not sufficient. There is no such place where these things are going on. Give me another place. So then Parikshit Maharaj says, Punascha yacha manaya jata rupam adat prabhu taton ritam madam kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam. The personality of Kali asked for something more, and because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. So, these should be abolished. Here we can see that. Isn't it? So, there's a wonderful purport which Srila Prabhupada gives in this connection, which is quite practical and can be used in circumstances such as we are in today. So Prabhupada gives certain recommendations to the leaders of the society. He's saying, following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit, it is a duty of all executive heads of states to see that the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, are established in the state. And that the principles of irreligion, namely pride, illicit female association or prostitution, intoxication and falsity, are checked by all means. And to make the best use of a bad bargain, the personality of Kali may be transferred to places of gambling, drinking, prostitution and slaughterhouses. So, Srila Prabhupada says that the state which wants to eradicate corruption by majority may introduce the principles of religion in the following manner. So what are they? 2 compulsory fasting days in a month, if not more. Even from the economic point of view, such 2 fasting days in a month in the state will save tons of food. And the system will also act very favorably on the general health of the citizens. Now this is an unheard of concept. Therefore many of us may be even laughing, thinking that how this can be implemented in today's society, isn't it? So yeah, that's true. The today's society is far removed from the Vedic principles. But there must be compulsory marriage of young boys and girls attaining 24 years of age and 16 years of age respectively. There is no harm in co-education in the schools and colleges, provided the boys and girls are duly married. And in case there is any intimate connection between a male and a female student, they should be married properly without illicit relation. The Divorce Act is encouraging prostitution and this should be abolished. The citizens of the state must give in charity up to 50% of their income for the purpose of creating a spiritual atmosphere in the state or in human society, both individually and collectively. They should preach the principles of Bhagavatam. Gambling of all descriptions, even speculative business enterprises, is considered to be degrading. And when gambling is encouraged in the state, there is a complete disappearance of truthfulness. Allowing young boys and girls to remain unmarried more than the above mentioned ages and licensing animal slaughterhouses of all descriptions should be at once prohibited. The flesh eaters may be allowed to take flesh as mentioned in the scriptures and not otherwise. Intoxication of all description, even smoking cigarettes, chewing tobacco or the drinking of tea must be prohibited. How much of problems in the society can be prevented if these principles are instituted? So it is very important, you see. And again, Srila Prabhupada says about gold standardization, economic crisis can be prevented. He says, although Maharaj Parikshit gave Kali permission to live in 4 places, it was very difficult for him. Therefore, Kali asked the king to give him something practical which could be utilized for his nefarious purposes. Maharaj Parikshit thus gave him permission to live in a place where there is gold. Because wherever there is gold, there are all the above mentioned 4 things, and over and above them, there is enmity also. So the personality of Kali became gold standardized. So today we have gold standards. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, gold encourages falsity, intoxication, prostitution, envy and enmity. Basically, wherever there is wealth stored up, gold stored up, all the 4 regulative principles are broken subsequently. So even a gold standard exchange and currency is bad. Gold standard currency is based on falsehood because a currency is not on a par with the reserved gold. The basic principle is falsity because currency notes are issued in value beyond that of the actual reserved gold. This artificial inflation of currency by the authorities encourages prostitution of the state economy. The price of commodities becomes artificially inflated because of bad money or coins should be or artificial currency notes. Bad money drives away good money. Instead of paper currency, actual gold coins should be used for exchange. And this will stop prostitution of gold. Gold ornaments for women may be allowed by control, not by quality, but by quantity. This will discourage all these aforementioned bad elements. There will be no need of an anti-corruption ministry for another term of prostitution and falsity of purpose. So this is the solution. So therefore, the government must make, on a positive note, arrangements to encourage the prospering of devotees. Prospering of devotees. One devotee was telling, one inspector came to the book table and he said, "Kya chal raha hai idhar? Kya chal raha hai? Band karo, band karo." His name was Shiv Prasad Yadav. So that devotee was saying, "Hum to Yadav Vamsh nahi, aap Yadav Vamsh hai aur aap aisa bol rahe hai. Aapko to sochna chahiye na." He said, "Acha acha, theek hai theek hai. To karo, magar itna awaz mat karo, thoda sa kam aise." Devotee was saying, "You know, aap Yadav Vamsh hai, aapko aisa nahi karna chahiye na, aapko encourage karna chahiye aapko, aap police mein hai aur like that, you know." So the thing is, Shiv Prasad Yadav. So instead of encouraging devotees from doing book distribution and spreading the message, they discourage them. So what is lacking, we can see, is the spirit of encouragement. So devotees have to be brought and encouraged. And that is the process. That was the culture previously. Prabhupada used to say once when he was sitting and in India, and they all boarded, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was driving a white color ambassador. So they went for the program and came back. And they got into the white ambassador. Shyam Sundar Prabhu was trying to put the key, but somehow the key was not working for the car. So he thought, "What's wrong?" And he came out of the car and thought that he got the wrong keys. And another man came inside, two men came inside with suits. They came inside the car, they put in their key into the car, they started the car and took off. And Prabhupada and the other devotees wondering what is happening. And then they realized that actually the car was not their car. They were sitting in another person's white car. So those people, they asked Prabhupada, "Where do you want to go?" And he said, "We want to go here." "Don't worry, we will drop you." And they dropped Prabhupada at his place. And the case was closed. So Prabhupada said, "See, this is culture. If you would have been somewhere else, they would have taken you to court or they would have shot you. Why did you sit in our car? You are trying to steal our car? This is culture," Srila Prabhupada says. So this culture is now, we are losing that culture. We are losing that culture fast. So that is a solution. Solution is encourage the Vaishnava community. Therefore it is said, "Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidhu sa eva sadhu shukrito moksha dvaram apavritam." It is the nature of people to become attached. So let them become attached to saintly people. That is the message. So give opportunities for people to associate with devotees. And allow the chanting of Hare Krishna in public. Allow and encourage. Let people take part in Harinam Sankirtan. As it is said, you know, there's a verse. Kirata hunandar pulinda pulakasha abhira shumba yavana kashadaya. Yenye cha papa yada pashraya shraya shudhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. That kirata hunandar pulinda pulakasha abhira shumba yavana kashadaya. Yavana kashadaya. So they are all the sinful races who can be purified. Even sinful people can be purified by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Yavana khasadaya, khasa, khasa, this word, khasa, kasai. Kasai? Ajmal Amir Kasab. It came in the newspapers that he belonged to a kasai race. So it said, Abir Shumbai Yavana khasadaya, that they can also be purified. Should all be encouraged. You should, you know, encourage them to chant Hare Krishna. That is the solution. That is the solution. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So that was Srila Prabhupada, actually, truly a saint who actually went to such places and by his presence made such a difference, made people chant Hare Krishna and actually and established a society where practically people can see the result of following religious principles. We go for yatras, 4,000 devotees, and I have not seen one argument between devotees. We go for, youths go for yatras, 300 devotees, and I have not seen any young boys fighting. They have so much of passion. Young boys are supposed to have passion, isn't it? Young blood. But not an argument, people having service mentality, sharing, and just encouraging each other. It's a miraculous sight. Why don't people come and see and check this out, this principle, what is working? So that is Srila Prabhupada's glory. And he went to every town and village in this world, practically every continent in this world, and established the chanting of the Hare Krishna. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrind ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo.